Thanks, Jim. Thank you very much, Glenn, and thank you very much, Church. It's great to be here this morning. Lovely worship, lovely atmosphere, and it's great to be able to stand here in my right mind. I'm David Tarn. I'm now the Outreach Director for Teen Challenge London. It was 15 years ago that I went on the programme. I was a chronic alcoholic and a heroin addict, but the power of Jesus Christ has set me free. We give him all the praise and all the glory. And it's great to be here. I've got some guys with me, and they're going to share their testimonies of what the Lord is doing in their lives. Now, Teen Challenge is an amazing ministry. I just want to start off and put a few things right. It's not just for teenagers. You may be thinking, that guy is no teenager. And you'd be right. My teenage years are a distant memory, I can assure you. But we got the name Teen Challenge comes from the original work that was started by David Wilkerson and was made famous in this book, The Cross and the Switchblade. Has anyone here read this? Please put your hand up if you've read it. Okay, so quite a few haven't read it. So this book tells the story of how David Wilkerson went to New York City and started ministering amongst gang members and heroin addicts. And David Wilkerson realised when he prayed for heroin addicts and when they was in withdrawal, when they got baptised in the Holy Spirit, their withdrawal symptoms ceased. And it was a miracle. And he knew God wanted to start a work amongst this set of people. So he started, it's a wonderful story. If you haven't read this book, get this book, see the film, because it's an amazing story. From one man's obedience, Teen Challenge is now in 125 countries in the world. It's been going for 60 years. And there were studies done into Teen Challenge in the 70s by two secular universities, and they found that Teen Challenge has an 87% success rate of the men and women who complete the program, of them not going back onto drugs and alcohol after a 5-year period. And they put it down to something they called the Jesus factor. And those figures are consistent today. And it's an incredible figure, 87%, because the most successful secular rehabilitation centre is the Betty Ford Clinic, and they have a 5% success rate over a 1-year period. The Betty Ford Clinic costs a fortune. Teen Challenge is free. Jesus is free. So you're talking 87% with Jesus and 5% without. The figures tell it all, don't they? Jesus is the answer to the world's problems. And Jesus is turning around these problems for good. His word says that he called those called according to his purpose. He turns around everything for good. And he's doing that right now. Right now, our centre is in Ilford. We have a 29-bed facility there, which is one of 6 different centres in the UK. And we have a women's centre as well, which is down in Wales. And we're going to show you a quick DVD now of some of the work we're involved with. Teen Challenge was originally an outreach ministry, and we continue to do prolific amounts of outreach throughout London and through the home counties. And so we're just going to show you a DVD just so that you can get a flavour of what some of the stuff we do. If we can play that.
My name is John.
Okay. There's a couple more testimonies on there, but we have some real-life testimonies here. So I thought we'd use our time better to hear the real testimonies. You can see on the video there, we have an outreach bus. That bus is out 6 nights a week, and we go out and feed the homeless. But the first reason we go out is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ on the streets of London. And it goes to East London, West London, South London, Central London. So we're trying to get around the whole of London. And the guys, when they get on the latter stages of the program, when they reach phase 4 of the program, after 11 months of life application Bible study, they're then out on the streets. And it's powerful testimony because they're able to say to the guys they meet, look, I was a drug addict, I was an alcoholic, Jesus Christ has set me free. A year ago, I was where you were. And this is powerful ministry. And so if you want to get involved in that ministry, you can. We've got an outreach training day coming up next weekend, actually, at the centre. So come and speak to us afterwards, and I can discuss that with you. Well, we're going to hear some testimonies now. So I'm going to ask Andy, would you like to come and share your testimony with the church? Please give him a round of applause.
Hi, my name's Andy, and I've been on the Teen Challenge program now for 7 months. As you'll guess from my accent, I'm not from London. Why I'm in London, God only knows, but I'm sure I have a purpose here, and he will make it clear to me in the future. I'm 54 years old. I worked in an engineering background since leaving school, but I've led a very self-centered life, doing whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. I was brought up going to church as a young child in Canada. My father died when I was 5. We moved to England, where my parents were from. And from there, the church became a distant 3,000 miles away. So I started work. I started going out with the guys, drinking, and things like that. And started a life of sin, basically. I decided that God wasn't real, because if he was, I was in big trouble. And 4 years ago, God brought me to my knees, basically. I became a born-again Christian through my sister. And God brought me to Teen Challenge, a fantastic ministry, which I'm very proud to stand here today. I'm very grateful to stand here today alive, because I've had many situations that should have taken my life, but God decided to keep me going. And for any of the younger people here today, might I just say that I'm lucky that I've reached through the grace of God, I've reached 54 years old. A lot of my friends didn't. They died in their 20s, and I'm one of the few of my friends still left. But yes, the program is amazing. It's working through me. It's working through my brothers. God is good. And Teen Challenge is a fantastic program. I know I keep repeating myself, but the teachings there, God's word, it works. It's working in my life. It's transforming me. I'm about halfway through the program. I still have a long way to go, but I know the transformation will be complete through God's grace. Teen Challenge, it acts as a hospital for the spiritually dead, like I was. But it also acts as a military outpost, training Christian soldiers ready to storm the gates of hell. And again, I'm very grateful to be here today. And hopefully we'll come back one day and finish the story. But right now, I'll hand you over to one of my other brothers.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Andy. That took a lot of courage for Andy. That's his first time. Didn't he do well? Praise God. And Andy, you was... it was heroin, wasn't it, was your problem? Alcohol and heroin, anything, yeah. So... So it's a miracle that Andy's able to stand here in his right mind. You know, the world doesn't have an answer to heroin addiction. The world, the government policy is to get someone onto methadone when they're on heroin, to substitute it with methadone, so they spend a life addicted to methadone instead, which is a really evil drug. It was actually created by the Nazis, methadone. And so, you know, we think that's an insult to say that someone has to spend the rest of their life addicted to this drug when they could find freedom, true freedom, in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Would you like to come and share with us, please, Anthony?
Morning, church. God is great. Just like my brother Andy, I should not be standing here, and it's only through the will of the grace of God that I am. I grew up in West London, a dodgy part of West London. I pretty much have been addicted to everything that you can think of. But I was looking for answers. I went looking for answers everywhere. I looked in all the wrong places. I spent a long time looking for the answers that only God can provide. When I reached my 20s, I'd had friends who'd been killed. I'd had friends who'd ended up in prison. And I really wanted to understand what was going wrong in the world. And I spent 3 years at university doing a degree in politics and sociology. I came out none the wiser. And I've really struggled with addiction my whole life, and I've only ever really found true freedom when I called out and asked God for help. He has this amazing ability to reassure you, show you love, comfort you, all the while regenerating and rejuvenating you while building you back up into a human being. I came to a point in my life where I just cried out in my desperation, Lord Jesus Christ, help me. Help me, please. I need your help. And from that second, he's been helping me. In every part of my life, he's come in and he's shown me that I can trust people. I can care about other people. I can love people. I can have friendships. I can have relationships. My life started to fall apart. I was married. I had a young son. I was an anaesthetic practitioner in the Royal London Hospital. I was part of the trauma team there that was helping people who were being stabbed and shot on the streets of East London. And I couldn't explain what was going on in the world. I just had no answers for it. And Teen Challenge is an amazing ministry. It's not just working in London or in the UK. It's doing work all over the world. And there are lost people all over the world that need to hear the gospel, the good news, that Jesus Christ is alive and he's here and he's working in every individual in this building. And I can't speak highly enough about what Teen Challenge do. They have this ministry. They bring you in. They show you love. They care for you. They give you food. They give you a roof. They give you a warm bed. It's the perfect tool for God to come into people's lives. Some people come for a few weeks or a few months, but a seed is planted in their hearts, and they will carry that. I'm pretty sure of it. They will carry it for the rest of their life. That there is an answer to what's going on in the world. There is no truth in the world. The world doesn't give us any truth. It just gives us more lies day after day after day. God's truth is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same tomorrow. And through this, I've come to have hope that I have a future, that I will be reconciled to my family, to my loved ones. Just before Christmas, I got to see my young son for the first time in eight months, and that's through the grace of God. I couldn't do it on my own will. I just could not do it. God is great. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Anthony. And, you know, sometimes I think I've got the best job in the world because I see the guys come in totally broken and, you know, what am I doing in this place, you know? And I felt exactly the same. But they don't realise it's a launch pad for them, you know? When you're at the bottom, God lifts you up, and I just see the Lord put their lives back together again and again. And I sat with Anthony and said, you know how many times I've sat with a guy like you in the same position and God's come through for them, and you just see the light come on as he starts working in their lives, and it's just amazing to see God in action putting these guys' lives back together. Vadim, would you like to come and share with the church?
Good morning. My name is Vadim. I'm 56, but I know you believe I was a teen long time ago. And a long time ago, I was born in Soviet Union. I'm Russian, but I was born in Azerbaijan. My future was absolutely bright when I was a boy. I was saved when I was young. All my family was Christians. I had beautiful education. everything what you can imagine I had. Then I had a successful marriage, kids, we moved in Russia and God blessed me there. Then my church sent me abroad. I finished Bible Institute and I came back in Russia, started ministry in Pentecostal church in Moscow region. We started with God's help TV ministry, and again everything was good. God blessed me, and what I know, God loves me. It's normal when He blessed me, and He did everything for me, but I didn't give Him thanks how He worthy. I received it like it's normal for Christians. Actually, it's true. It's normal to receive all God's blessings. But our response to give it back to Him something. It's praise and glory. But I receive, and God sent me here with my family and with my friends from Moscow region. We started one ministry in Church of England, another ministry in Charismatic Church, in Baptist Church. And again, everything was so good. And people told me, look, you know, Russian people, a lot of artists live here, a lot of rich people, they start to invite me. And why not? It's a good opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. And we're sitting, we celebrate marriages, birthdays. And one day something happened. One man said, it's Russian drink, why not? It's part of culture. I said, I'm quite strong. Nothing will happen with me. And you know what Bible said in 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 19:25-27. How are the mighty fallen? And some translations are interesting, some mighty heroes. So people said, look at him. He's preaching. He's what he's doing. Everything possible for him because of his faith. And I said, yes, you see, God loves me. God give everything to me to be like me. Not like Jesus. I became a very proud person. I didn't realize it, but the pride still, you know, like the, put roots inside me. And it's growing, growing, growing. And when I start to drink, it was just on the top of the iceberg. The roots was there, my pride. So I will not tell you what's everything, what's happened after that. After years, I was suffered from alcohol. I found myself alone in my house. There's no family, no ministry, only empty bottles of vodka. And where is my power? Where is my strength? Where is my heroism? When my all everything, what God said, a mighty fallen. All people who standing here and preaching gospel, singing, give testimonies, please be very, very careful when you do something wrong. I start to cry and I found only my mom and my brother. He's priest in Church of England. And I said, I'm dying. I touched something God said, do not touch. I touched it and now I'm dying. I didn't die when I drink it first time, but it came inside me, and I said, Mom, brother, just pray for me. I'm dying physically, I'm dying spiritually, I don't want it. And then I said, I need maybe private clinic or private doctor. And they said, my brother said, I know private clinic and private doctor for you. My neighbor is leader of Teen Challenge. That's clinic for you, that's doctors for you, go there. Thanks God, how you see, He really loves me. And after a few days, I was there. As our leaders told us, it's something between monastery and army. It's very, very tough place. Very tough place. I'm a minister. I believe I know Bible very good, but in the morning, we have to read Bible again and again, and they start to teach me eight steps to freedom and everything. I said, I know this. And God told me, it's not about your knowledge. You have to break your pride. And God started to work on me. Now, I have what I have now. With Jesus' help, my family, I have not just freedom to do and preach again. I have freedom again to say God loves you. Everything possible with Him. This is beautiful, powerful ministry. I knew about this ministry years ago in Russia, but I never expected I'll be there. And God brought me there to tell now thousands of people, more auditory than I had before, that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you will give Him everything what you have, negative or good, and say, God, thanks for everything, He will do a miracle you can't imagine. Amen.
Thank you, Vadim. Well, we've got quite a bit of time. Would it be good for the guys to sing to the church? They've got a song that we've rehearsed, yeah? Would we be able to play that through the... It's on that stick there. Would it play through? Vadim, would you show the file? This is a very powerful song. It's called He Reached Down to Me. If you just sit back and listen to the words of the song, it really does show how God can reach into someone's life and get hold of them and put them on the right track. So I'm sorry, I've created disruption. Jump on the mics, guys. That's the song. Back, close your eyes and listen to the words of this song. It really does tell how God is in control. They're going to sing to you. Would you like it, Russell?
Buffalo.
I'm sure Vadim could do it.
Now there's a song and there is music, and my heart.
place where I have found there is joy for living this higher ground where I can see the splendor of all things prepared for me. Now there's a song and there is music and my heart is on. Christ the Lord, my everything, He reached down to me, the King of heaven, from His throne, to my world of pain and misery, to my side when I was all alone, He reached down to me, reaching out for His embrace, I touched the wonder of
praise God. You know, the Apostle Paul said, he said, I don't come to you with clever words, but I come to you with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And these guys transformed lives, to me, is a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit to transform lives today. Amen. Thank you, guys. As I say, we have, if you wanted, please pray for this ministry. We minister in some of the most difficult places in London. In fact, when there was riots in 2012, they was in all the places our outreach bus goes to. So I figured we was in the right places. But we've never had anyone attacked on the streets or anyone attacked in our centres. And, you know, we're dealing with guys coming off of drugs at the lowest point in their lives. And we know it's because the prayers of the saints are covering the ministry. So please add us to your prayer list. If you want to get involved in the outreach ministry, we also run some drop-in centres as well now. Patrick there is actually, he's moved on from doing the drop-in, so I've been involved in doing that. He's now manager of another rehab, so we praise God for the progress in his life. But, yeah, if you want to get involved in the outreach in any way, come and see me afterwards, because we've got this training coming up next Saturday, and we desperately need a driver, actually, for our bus. So if you happen to have a C category on your driving licence, I'd love to talk to you, because we're always short of drivers. That means you have to have passed your test before 1998. So please talk to us about that. And if you wanted to support the ministry financially, we don't receive any government funding directly, but if you wanted to support the ministry, you can by filling in a direct debit form for a minimum of £10 a month, and then we can give you a copy of the cross and the switchblade. Okay, that's all the housekeeping out of the way, which brings us to the Word of God. If you have a Bible, would you like to switch it on? Or perhaps turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 3. So Acts chapter 3 from verse 1, a lame man healed. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Praise God. Father, I do thank you for your word. And I pray, Father God, that you just prepare hearts to receive this word and help me to deliver this by the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, first of all, we can see here Peter and John. It says that they are outside the temple. And it never ceases to amaze me that they're outside the temple, because a few chapters earlier they were cowering in a room, terrified, because their leader has just been assassinated by the Jews at the time. And now they're outside the headquarters, if you like, of the Jewish religion, boldly walking into the temple with no fear whatsoever. Something has happened to these men. They are standing there boldly performing miracles and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, whereas before they were terrified. So something must have happened to them. And what's more, Peter, in the chapter beforehand, the scripture tells us he's an untrained man, has just given a sermon so powerful that 3,000 people have given their lives to Jesus, and the following knock-on effect was 5,000 people got saved. Something has happened to these men. And it says that they were outside the temple. And, you know, this is a picture to me of what Teen Challenge does, because our ministry bus is outside the temple. It's not in the temple, it's out on the streets. Because when you're out on the streets, that's when you can feel the need. That's when you can see the pain. And that's when you start relating to people. And it needs a bridge from the streets to the church. Because I've got to tell you, that step there on the doorway of the church is the biggest step that anyone with a drug or alcohol problem is ever going to take. They're not going to be able to do it. I've got to tell you, when I was an alcoholic, I knew that I stunk of alcohol and people didn't want to sit near me. There's no way I'm going to go into a church. I did go into a church once and someone come up and prayed for me and they said, "You stink of alcohol." And I said, "No, I'm an alcoholic, you know." And it just put me off. I'm never going back. So so it needs a bridge. We need to be out there. We need to be ministering to people on the streets. We need to be able to reach out, you know. And it's ironic in my own life because I was a heroin addict and an alcoholic. I had to have a liver transplant. I was the worst alcoholic. There's a picture of me there on that thing there. That's when I came into the ministry of Teen Challenge. And I was dying of hepatitis C. I was dying of liver cirrhosis. I've got cancer. And then I needed a liver transplant. And now I'm standing here. I've never felt better. So praise God. But I needed help. I needed help. And there's many more people out there who need help, who are never going to come into the streets unless we reach out to them. And for me, you know, as an addict, as an alcoholic, you're very concerned with the way you feel when you're an alcoholic. You're constantly taking alcohol and drugs to numb the pain of whatever it is you're trying to escape, you know. And you're very much reaching in all the time. And it's quite alien to reach out. But your healing comes when you start reaching out to people. You know, we've got a doctor at my church. I'm now, by the grace of God, I'm doing an MIT. Glenn's actually my mentor. And there's a doctor at my church. And the secular answer to depression is actually a good diet, exercise, and volunteering. Would you believe it? You know, that's what the scriptures tell us to do. That's what Jesus tells us to do. Praise God. But they're outside the temple, and these men come across this beggar. And, you know, this guy, it says that he was always outside the temple. And Peter reaches into his life, and he says to this man, "Look at us. Look at us," he says. You know, because the man can't look at them, because he's a beggar. How can he meet their gaze? You know, these are Jewish men, and they're used to being, he must have been used to being looked down upon by these men. But here's Peter, he's saying, "Look at me." You know, because when someone's begging on the street and in genuine need of help, they can't look you in the eye because they're so ashamed of how low that they've got. But here you can see Peter and John, full of the Holy Spirit, reaching down into this man's life and saying, "Look at us." You know, as Christians, we have the answer to the world's problems. We have the answer to the suffering in the world. You know, and Paul says that we are ambassadors for God. And so we're all able to say, "Look at us. Look what God's done in our life." Because we've all been given a testimony, haven't we? We've all been given a testimony of God's grace. And no one can argue with your testimony. They can argue with your theology. They can argue with, as Andy said, what was your degree again? Sociology. They can argue a lot about sociology, but they can't argue with your testimony. They can't argue with what God's done in your life, you know? So we can all say, "Look at us. Look what God's done in my life." And you see Peter here, he reaches down to this man. And it says that he reaches down to his man. In verse 7, it says, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You know, this to me is a picture of the ministry of Teen Challenge. Because what we do with these guys, we just basically give them a helping hand up. We're not doing everything for them. It's down to them if they seek God or not. You know, we encourage them a lot, but we're just giving them a helping hand back into life. And sometimes that's all they needed was a sanctuary, a place to go and reflect and to build their relationship with Jesus Christ. And then strength comes back into their lives, and they get the wisdom, God's wisdom, of how to be able to deal with their situations. But Peter reaches down and took him by his right hand. He reaches out his right hand to him. And I've been told that that is symbolic, because in those days, the left hand was used for ablutions. It was used to do your toiletries, basically. And the Jewish people used to subjugate their slaves by reaching out their left hand to them and saying, you've got to take that. You know, this is, you've got to take that. It was a way of humiliating someone. But he reaches out with his right hand, says, look me in the eye, you're equal to me. And I'm reaching into your world and I'm pulling you out of it into your new life. And he reaches in and lifts him out of his situation. And that to me is what Teen Challenge is doing in these men's lives and what it did for me. Because I needed someone to reach into my life. I needed someone to put me on the straight and narrow. I needed someone who cared enough to be able to relate to me and reach into my life and empower me and introduce me to the right way to live and introduce me to the saviour of this world. You know, it says that he did it in the name of Jesus Christ, verse 6, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know, this is his full messianic title, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because there's quite a lot of Jesuses in the world. I believe Jesus actually plays for Man City as well, doesn't he, at the moment? And he's quite a good player. But Jesus Christ of Nazareth is his full messianic title. And it's in his name he commands him to get up and walk. And it's in his name that we teach these guys. Because everything in Teen Challenge is done in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. These guys go through life application Bible studies. And that's taking the teachings of Jesus and applying it to their lives. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just knowing theology. It's doing it. And when they're living in a group together like that, and there's people overseeing it, they put it into practice. And guess what? It works. It works. What Jesus told us to do, how he told us to live our lives, works. It worked 2,000 years ago, and it's working today. Praise God. And it says, all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was him who sat begging alms. Because all the people knew this guy. Because the scripture says that he was always there. You know, and all the people knew me when I was a heroin addict. They all knew about my activities. Because I've got to tell you, when you're an addict, when you're an alcoholic, your behaviour and what you're doing to get your supply of stuff affects a lot of people. You know, people cross the road to avoid you. You're affecting a lot of people with your lifestyle. And so all the people know him. But when these men go back to their families, and when people look at me today, do you know, a quick testimony, I did before I came into Teen Challenge, I did a degree in theology and English literature. This was 16 years ago, I finished, and then I went into Teen Challenge. Got the degree, went into Teen Challenge. And I met up with the people who I haven't seen for 16 years at Christmas and went for a coffee with them. And they couldn't believe it. They thought I was dead. They just could not believe what had happened in my life, you know, because they thought I was definitely a goner. You know, I had cancer, I had liver cirrhosis, everything. And, you know, that was enough testimony. And as I left, I said to them, remember the reason for the season. And, of course, they said, how could we possibly forget after seeing you back from the dead? And so, praise God, you know. I'll give God all the thanks for the ministry of Teen Challenge and what he's done in my life. And I think I'm running out of time here, Glenn, so I'm going to bring this one to a halt. And I might do it with a little joke. You know, we need to be careful what we ask God for. Because this man here, he asked God for arms and he got new legs. Sorry about that, I couldn't resist it. Please, if anything has related to what we've been talking about this morning to a situation in your life, please come forward for prayer. I'd love to pray with you. You know, I believe that there's a special anointing on the ministry of Teen Challenge. God doesn't start something 60 years ago and it's flourishing. You know, when he starts something and it's from him, it's going to carry on. And I believe there's a special anointing on Teen Challenge for ministering to people with drug and alcohol problems. If you want prayer or you want to talk to us about a situation that maybe has touched home with you, please either... Are we going to do a final song, Glenn? Or, yeah, if you want to come forward to prayer, I'd love to pray with you this morning, or maybe if you want to just take us to the side afterwards. You know, everyone has a time. This guy was sitting outside the temple, and Jesus walked past this guy. You know, Jesus, he was sitting in the colonnade of the temple, and Jesus would have walked by this man. And it makes you wonder, why didn't he get healed by Jesus? How come Jesus didn't stop for him? But I believe everyone has a time when God's going to move in their life. You know, my family were praying for me for 15 years before I got saved. Everyone has a time. If you want prayer maybe for a situation in your family, or family members are unsaved, or maybe this is your time to come